I am live, 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 live. Copy that, tweet that, bam, bam, bam. Not only am I live, I'm live with a new haircut. Look at that. It's the first haircut I've had since coronavirus. So I kind of got to the point, I should have got a haircut, but where am I going to go? So that doesn't really matter. But the big thing happening here is as of Monday next week, where are we today? Friday. Yeah, Monday, 3 days away. Kids are going back to school. So that meant that my son is going back to school. My son desperately needed a haircut. It's one of those schools. You got to have the haircut right, apparently, or you don't learn proper or something. Anyway, so we went, okay, we'll both just go to the barber, got a haircut. And then I had businessy things today. So I actually got presentable and I haven't felt this way for quite some months now. Yeah, good times, good times. So in my new sort of presentable self, I'm now doing this on a Friday evening. So again, it's just obviously live stream and see people joining on there. It's 6:22 in the evening here. It is very, very close to beer o'clock, but just not quite yet. So, and as usual, I can see your comments. G'day, Daniel. Thank you for chiming in there. So this week, now what I've been doing with these live streams, and again, the reason I'm live streaming is it just makes it damn sight easier to actually get the video published and out there, and I'm not like rendering and uploading and waiting for things to happen, and it's fun because people get to engage. So what I've been doing with the live ones is I have been doing the sponsor thing first so that I give them a good shout out, because part of the reason that I can sit here and usually not cut my hair or anything like that is because I do have some sponsors, which is good. Now, this week's sponsor is NordVPN. NordVPN was there last week. I'm going to come back to some of the comments I got about Nord. They are talking about faster VPN connections powered by Nordlinks, a wire. Nordlinks, where's my beer? Nordlinks, a WireGuard based tunneling solution. And I did actually mention last week, I did give it a go and it was actually super fast. So I was quite impressed with that. So I have been using Nord, certainly a lot more than what I would have in the past. A few people last week came back with some comments, and one of the themes there was, yes, but didn't they have a data breach late last year? There was a security incident there. To the best of my knowledge, there wasn't any actual data exposed. To be fair, I'm pretty sure I said this at the time, it is never a good look for a security company to have a headline about any sort of security incident. And they absolutely had to cop that one on the chin. So fair comments there. A couple of other comments around some of their messaging. Now, I did get in touch with Nord after this. In fact, I got on the phone with them and I got on the phone with them and we had a very good chat about a whole bunch of related things. And I gave them some very direct feedback about that, which they're taking on board. And this is sort of one of these cases where they're prominent enough and they've got enough exposure, enough traction. I want to see their messaging absolutely on point. I'm fine with the messaging on my sponsorship page here. Obviously, I'd like to see everything else that they and other security companies for that matter represent being on point too. So I'm going to be talking more to those folks and trying to make sure that their messaging aligns with what I think and probably what you think it should do. So more about that in the future. I don't want to get bogged down on that because I've got some other stuff today. And because I'm doing this a bit late and I didn't mention no beer yet, I do want to actually get through it. So what I've been doing the last few weeks, because let's face it, none of us can escape this, is just having a little bit of a chat about the COVID situation. You may have heard of it before. We have it down here as well. Fortunately, we don't have a lot of it down here. And I've mentioned this a few times. In fact, I was just checking the COVID underscore Australia Twitter account for the latest stats. So in fact, I had this page loaded before. Let me just give that guy a refresh there. So latest stats for us in Australia. Where are we now? Wow, we've had 1.17 million tests. So there's a country of 25 million people. The bit that's most that, well, okay, I find a lot of it interesting just because I like numbers. But one of the bits I find really interesting is always the active cases. So we're down to 516 active cases in a country of 25 million people. Now that's actually up 7 from yesterday. So what's happening here, and I'm looking at the stats now, is that on a state-by-state basis, most states are just donuts, like big fat zeros everywhere. And then New South Wales, our most populous state, has had 2 new cases today. And then Victoria's had 12. Now, apparently there was an outbreak in an abattoir, which doesn't sound like a good place to be catching COVID at any time. But anyway, So at least this is sort of, I was just reading some of the comments before under this, at least it sort of is a known source. We don't believe it's community transmission. People know where it came from, how it happened, who's got it. So hopefully they can get a lid on that. Where it's getting quite interesting in Australia at the moment is the way that they're opening back up borders, because basically all the Australian states, what, 8 weeks ago or something, just went, that's it, no one else is going across any borders, which is particularly interesting here because about 30 kilometres that way is the border and it literally runs through the middle of town and people have to travel backwards and forwards. So you actually see a bunch of cars around with a printed A4 piece of paper. It's got a big A on it and then a whole bunch of PII in there, and it's a permit to be able to go across the border because they work or they drop the kids off or whatever. But for the most part, borders remain shut except for between New South Wales and Victoria. So if you can picture the map of Australia there down the bottom right, excuse me, and so you can go between those two, and they have a whole bunch of border towns too. And then the Australian Capital Territory, which is our nation's capital, and it sits right in the middle of New South Wales, so it's completely like landlocked by New South Wales. So they can go in and out of there. Now, the other states are closed, and there's a bit of a brouhaha at the moment, particularly between my state here, Queensland, and the state 30K that way, New South Wales, where New South Wales wants to open up borders so people can come and go. Queensland's like, you guys have got to stop getting sick before we open up borders. Because in Queensland, so remember, we've got 516 active cases across the entire country. Queensland has got 12 of them. Now, we've got 5 million people. There's 20% of Australia's population in this one state alone, and we've only got 12 of the cases. So it's a really interesting thing because the premier here is going, you guys have got to stop getting sick, and particularly the community transmission stuff, which is still happening sometimes. But also we are like the holiday state. We really want the tourists to come and pump the money back in as well. So anyway, there's a little bit of talk about that maybe not even happening until as far out as September. My hope is it's much sooner than that for the economy here and because I want to go snowboarding as well, and that's in the other state. So we shall see. At least we're well here, which is nice. Other things happening here. So restaurants and things starting to open back up, 10 people per restaurant. So I've been wandering down to the local sort of street with the shops and the restaurants and things, Main Beach if you're local. Wandering down to Main Beach and, yeah, my favourite places are kind of opening back up, but there's only like 10 seats and there's people in every single one of them because this is what people want to do. So that's starting to get back to normal in New South Wales. I think New South Wales and Victoria as of, is it next week? Very, very soon. They're going to allow up to 50 people in pubs. So good luck social distancing that. And they're the states that actually have more of the cases. Anyway, nothing has got anything to do with cyber. None of that's got anything to do with cyber. And I do want to talk about a big cyber thing today, which did consume a bunch of my time this week. Now, this all began on Friday. And as I was finishing up doing my last update, I did a blog post about the unattributable DB815-1DD data breach. And incidentally, I can see messages. G'day, Gordon. Gordon and I got history. If you have any questions or things, chuck them in now or comments because I'm going to go through this reasonably soon and then go get that beer. So this particular breach, this was one where someone sent it to me earlier on in the year. In fact, it was a guy from Dehashed. I've put that in this blog post. And my data was in there and I just could not attribute the thing. Like I couldn't find any indication whatsoever that would tell me where it came from. So normally you get a bunch of data and it's like the first record is admin@thenameofthebreachsite.com. Ah, okay, that's a bit of a giveaway. Or it'll be like a MySQL dump of a database and there'll be the server name and the IP address and the date. Something. There was just nothing in this. And I'm just spinning through this blog post at the moment. It was such a super weird thing. So I published a piece of my own data to Pastebin and I linked to that and I just sort of got to the point where I couldn't work it out, so the blog post went out. Now, the Twitter magic happened overnight because I got up Saturday morning and people had worked out what it was, which was fascinating. I mean, there's a lot of speculation, but people worked out what it was. In fact, there are a lot of comments on this, 108 comments on this blog post, most of them, I think, in the first 24 hours. And people said it's It's Covey. Now, I think this is how you pronounce it, C-O-V-V-E. And I had to Google that because I didn't know what that was. And it's a contact management app. Now, I decided to pull up their website here because it makes for interesting reading. And what I mean by that is this is, let's just call it Covey. This is Covey as of today, a week after learning that they lost a very large amount of data. And the first thing at the top of the page says private and secure. And there's a bitmap of a padlock so that you know that it is. Anyway, simple state-of-the-art app. Start your relationship the smart way. Okay, AI powered. I tell you what, it's AI powered, but it didn't see this coming, did it? Anyway, it basically syncs your contact stuff. So I would imagine, I haven't installed the app, but I would imagine that if you install it on your device, it would go, can I please have access to your contacts? And you go, yeah, fine, seems a good idea. Take all your contacts, it'll put them up in the cloud. And then in an ideal situation, other people don't have access to it. In a less than ideal situation, it's in an Elasticsearch instance, which is publicly facing and doesn't have a password, which is what happened. So we traced it down. Now, I'd ended up having multiple phone calls with the CEO of the company as well because, look, it was a hell of a surprise for him. And regardless of how much these things shouldn't happen, my God, it is like I've had so many chats with people who have poured their heart and soul into creating these systems and suddenly they've realized what's happened. Imagine it's your, like, oh, imagine it's Have I Been Pwned? It's possible. Imagine it's Have I Been Pwned? And one day I get up and Have I Been Pwned has been pwned. And I imagine like the sinking feeling I would have with all that data suddenly being in someone's hands. So I'm massively sympathetic to individuals at the receiving end of this because nobody wants this, nobody plans this. So had a few chats with them. I believe they have handled it exceptionally well. They actually started chiming in on Threads very early on saying, look, yeah, we're looking into this. And then very early on said, yes, this is us. They one of the things we spoke about is that they did actually get a status page up there very quickly saying, this is the situation, this is what's happened, this is what we know about it, this is what we're doing about it, et cetera, et cetera. So it's one of these things where just before I went and did the congressional testimony, that the light bulb moment I had is that organizations are being judged less on the fact that they've had a data breach and more on how they handle it. And these guys are handling it well, so good on them. Now, one of the things about this, which I think is particularly fascinating, let's take myself, is that I never use the service, but my data is in there. And the reason my data is in there, and I know who's responsible for this, is that somebody else who I had interacted with used the service. And because I'm someone they interacted with, they had me in there as a contact, everything got synced up into the magic of the cloud. And in fact, I contacted this person and I was like, hey, mate, how are you going? Yeah, I hope you're staying well, yada, yada, yada. By the way, did you ever use an app called Covey? Yeah, we decided to call it Covey. Because I think you caused that to leak a whole bunch of my personal information. And he's like, yep, that was me. So, thank you. So here's the interesting question. Who is really accountable? Well, let's put it this way. Who is accountable for letting me know that my personal data has been exposed? Is it the person that added me? Well, that's never going to happen. It's not like Covey's going to email everyone and go, hey, by the way, you should contact everyone that you synced. That's not going to happen. Is it Covey? And then there's people saying, well, Covey isn't really responsible for third-party data, if you like. So Covey has a relationship and a whole bunch of terms and conditions, I'm sure, and privacy policies for, let's say, this mate of mine. And if they have his data exposed, they'd get in touch with him. But should they then get in touch with all the other mates of his that he's then gone through and entered? And that, I think, is a really interesting one. In fact, if anyone knows, and you're listening now, put it in there or leave a comment on the blog post or put this on later on. I'd love to know, where is accountability? Does Covey have accountability for contacting people like myself who aren't the first-party user of the service? Do they have to encourage other people to contact them? Well, where does the buck stop? I did see some people, some people make statements like, this isn't your data, it's my data. You know, no one else has permission to use my data. And it's like, mate, you know how many people I have in my phone that didn't give me permission to put them in my phone? Like, this is how the world works. You know, maybe that's not the way the strictest view of privacy controls work, but we all have address books. We have all put people in address books who did not give us permission to put them in address books. And then some of us have synced those address books. My address book syncs. It syncs between this and this. For those of you listening, that is an iPad and an iPhone. So who is accountable? It's interesting, isn't it? So the other notes I had on that, I was just looking through some of the comments here, Daniel. Oh, it's like Facebook. One person leads to all their friends being leaked. It is, but in a way it's kind of worse than Facebook too, because I can't think of a way that I could cause all of my Facebook friends' phone numbers to be leaked. Now, mind you, I could cause all their personal photos to be leaked, the ones that they perhaps set privacy controls on to try and limit it just to their friends. Then I'd probably have less friends if I did that. So, Gordon, loading that breach would suck, but on the plus side, 100% of those accounts already exist in HIBP. You know, the real uncomfortable thing, though, is there's about 4 billion plus unique email addresses, and I don't know how I'd send that many with SendGrid. But, no, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. That is an engineering nightmare. Burton, Microsoft Build was a successful online event. Do you think it'll be the new normal in future? So I spoke at Microsoft Build as well. I was on a panel about how technology and stuff is changing in the COVID era. As a speaker, these events are always very much below the experience you would get in a normal event. So what I mean by that is, let's say, like literally in January this year, I was in London at NDC, walking around, shaking hands with people. Remember we used to shake hands? Having beers, interacting and engaging, and it was lovely. And the experience I now have doing both NDCs online as well as, you know, the Build, et cetera, it's just, not only is it not the same, it's a million miles away from being the same. It is not a fulfilling experience as a speaker to speak at an online event. Here you go. I put it out there. Now, as a participant, the event seems to have been super, super successful. So, in fact, someone shared it, because I've got a lot of Microsofty friends, someone shared a piece the other day that was on CNN talking about how successful Build was. And I think the CNN piece said, you know, a few little glitches, fair enough, but a very successful event. You can reach so many more people by holding it digitally. Of course, Microsoft Build was free as well, where if you went in person, it would cost you a bunch of money. So the financial barrier is low. And my belief on all of this is that what's going to happen is, let's say, for argument's sake, a year from now, there's no more COVID. That's probably being optimistic. 18 months from now, there's no more COVID-19. There's a vaccine. Everyone's fine to travel again. I'm convinced it will still look fundamentally different to what life did, say, 6 months ago. So I think things have changed permanently. And I got to be honest, I'm okay with not traveling anywhere near as much as what I did before. It's actually very nice here. So, yeah, Build actually went pretty well. What else we got here? Daniel, Covey still stored the data. They should notify you. Is it spam if they notify? Because you are contacting people who did not give their consent for you to contact them. But then by that logic, you didn't have their consent to have their data, but you had the consent of the person who got their data and put it in your system, and then, oh, man, that's a hard one. Gordon, I know the question is for Troy, but MS would want to do in-person again because that's where the partner's getting any benefit from. Well, it's true. There are partnership models which do work digitally as well, but it ends up being a little bit more product placement than the same engagement level, because partners have stands. If any of you haven't been to a big conference before, there's event halls and swag and interactions, and they want to swipe your card and all your badge and all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, the vendor landscape is actually really interesting there as well. April, not sure about Facebook, but Instagram bugs you to upload your contacts up there so you can add people by phone number. And this is, again, that the nexus of privacy and functionality, right, where if you're joining a social media platform, then being able to connect with people you know already makes sense. This is just the pure practical mechanism of it. But there is the privacy risk, because now not only are you disclosing your own connections, which you may not want to disclose them all, but you're taking other people's data and you're whacking it up there in the cloud, unless it does it all in device. But let's face it, data is valuable. It's going to go up to the cloud. And a good morning from Oslo too. So I would have been in Oslo very, very much about now to go to NDC. So I am a little bit disappointed, because I do love Oslo in the summer and the winter and spring and autumn as well. But anyway, I digress. More on that another time. So look, I'm going to wrap it up there. That's still been a 20-minute update. It has been just a crazy, crazy week for me on many, many levels. I'm putting some really interesting stuff in a blog post that I'll publish at some time as well. But I'm going to go into that in a lot more detail later on. And for now, I'm going to wrap it up there. And I will do this again next week. I'm going to try and alternate evenings versus mornings just to catch different parts of the world. So I'm going to try and do this on a Friday morning my time, which would make it probably about 12 hours earlier or something like that. So thank you very much for watching, and I will see you next time. End stream.